And we continue the second video on St. Peter Giulio Imart as the predecessor of Padre Pio. So in the second video, we're going to continue looking at the similarities between their two lives. And here, hopefully, we'll be answering the question as well, are all saints created in the same mold? Or does God take each individual and somehow elevate them to the level of sanctity? Hello friends of Following Padre Pio. On this channel, we bring you a series of short stories on the incredible life, the absolutely incredible life of our great saint, Padre Pio, who was a Capuchin friar, a mystic, and an incredible, a tremendous miracle worker. Do stay tuned to find out more about Padre Pio and to find out what his intercession can do for you. We also encourage everyone to visit our Lenten selection of videos. We have different videos every week, designed to help people, hopefully assist us all making a better Lent. You can go to the video description directly below and click on the link to our Lenten selection. And we'd like to encourage everyone as well, do help us with this apostolate, this Padre Pio apostolate. And you can help us with liking the video, share the video with your friends and colleagues, and subscribe to the channel if you have not already. Now, in the first part, we have had a look at certain similarities between Padre Pio and St. Peter Giulio Imart. And just in summary, we saw the following. In their earlier lives, their family environment was absolutely critical in their development. And then for both saints, they had a strong attraction from a very young age to the Eucharist. And in finding their vocations, both of them, both our Lord and his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, were important. And now continuing, so here we're going to look at the particular calling within his vocation that St. Peter Imart had to find. Now, on his first visit to Paris, Father Imart came into contact with the whole perpetual adoration movement there. And he met up with, and he became a friend with, Ermanno Cohen, who was in fact a Jewish convert. And Ermanno had started these nightly adorations in that area for all the people. And at these Eucharistic devotions, he ended up meeting with the captain of a frigate. And his name was Count Raymond of Sures, who then became his right-hand man later on in developing these new congregations of the Blessed Sacrament. Now, one day, Father Imart was there praying before the altar of Our Lady in the Basilica of Fourvière, and was there that he received this really profound inspiration. As he puts it, I was praying when such a strong thought came over me. It absorbed me completely to the point of losing every other feeling. So had he now gone into ecstasy? And for the glorification, this is what it was about, for the glorification of this mystery of love of Jesus in the Blessed Eucharist, which at that time did not have a dedicated religious body as its purpose. It was necessary to have one. So all of this was laid out in front of him in this kind of vision or this revelation. And this vision became the grace that now spurred Father Imart on to found his religious body, but what it would end up costing him to bring this Blessed Sacrament congregation to fruition. Now, obviously, as a religious priest, he had taken three vows, but these vows did not leave him very free to dedicate himself entirely to this new work. And he felt Providence was calling him strongly to do these things. But now he was kind of without the means because of the vows, vow of poverty. How do you build churches if you've taken a vow of poverty? And it seemed that Providence was directing him in this direction. He explained this to his superiors of the OMI, the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, but they just did not want to dispense him from these vows. And yet, at the same time, neither did they want to lose such a useful member of their community. So, obviously, Father Peter Imart now prayed about this, And then he decided he had to have recourse to higher up authorities. And he ended up consulting Pope Pius IX concerning to try and find out what are the possibilities for the future of his new congregation. And the pontiff listened carefully to him and then declared, "This work comes from God. Of this I am convinced. And the church needs this to make known by all paths the divine Eucharist." And so finally, Father Imhart was dispensed from his vows in order to free him up to do this work. And then Father Imhart, together with the commander of the Sueres, also he had been ordained a priest by now, they began the congregation of the Blessed Sacrament. And then sometime later on, now he was explaining this to the Archbishop of Paris, trying to explain what it was all about, and in order to obtain his authorization in their diocese. And St. Peter Imhart stated, "Ours is not a purely contemplative congregation. No, we will definitely have worship, but we also want to lead others to be adorers of the Blessed Sacrament. And we must also take care of the first communicants." Obviously, that's in their formation. "And finally, we wish to go even further," he said, "to set fire spiritually to all the corners of Paris," which was so much needed at the time. Now we're going to look at some beautiful churches and shrines that he ended up creating. But for him, St. Peter Imhart, the vocation of true adorer of the Blessed Sacrament was much wider than just this limited definition. Included to thank him, to thank God for the inestimable benefits of the Eucharist, and to become one with Jesus in the host for reparation of the many sins that cover the earth, and also to exercise at the foot of the Eucharist a perennial and ongoing mission for peace between princes, for the conversion of sinners, and for those who had gone into heresy as well, or for non-believers, and also for the conversion of the Jews. These are the perennial, ongoing elements in the life of the religious of the Blessed Sacrament. That's what Father Imhart said. So we can see that it covers everyone, all aspects. And now comparing this with Padre Pio, just as with St. Imhart's congregations, in order to rekindle devotion to the Blessed Eucharist, giving new vitality thereby to the Catholic in France. So for Padre Pio, with his prayer groups, his groups of prayer, it was to renew the life of prayer of the laity, making the laity into true apostles in love with Christ and also with Our Lady. And for founding this new congregation, St. Imhart, Father Imhart, made this interior dedication, saying yes to everything, promising to devote himself entirely, he said, till death, to the founding of the congregations of perpetual adoration. "I promised God that nothing would deter me, even if I should have to eat rocks and end up in hospital." So he's like a victim on the battlefield. He's going to spend his last breath trying to create these congregations. And he said, "Above all, I pled with God, and perhaps it was a presumption on my part, to work without even the least of human comforts." On the 22nd of May 1856, that was the Feast of Corpus Christi, just over 160 years ago, the first cenacle, as he called it, was inaugurated. And this name, cenacle, kind of stuck and became typical of what the saint would use to call all of his institute's houses. And he also co-founded with Mother Margarita Gilliot the Congregation of the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament for Perpetual Adoration. And that is the women's branch of the work he was doing. And now a little question. Can you guess who was the one, who was the person who helped Peter Julio Imhart through his prayers and personal encouragements? Another great saint. And as we know, Peter Imhart would face many, many difficulties and discouragements through his life. And it was, in fact, the Holy Curé d'Ars, who they were contemporaries, held him in very, very high esteem. And of course, Securitas was the apostle of confession. And Padre Pio was also known as the apostle of confession. The person who knew Father Imhotte well describes his appearance like this. He says, he was tall and he was also quite thin, but he was a very gentle person and had a face that was not exactly well proportioned, but in fact was rather marked with kind of pointed features, which made him truly distinct. And he said his forehead was quite large, his eyes, he said, were heavenly, and he had this profound gaze under his very distinctive eyebrows. And he said his lips were neither thick nor thin, but always had this very friendly smile. So just a brief conclusion. The profound similarities between them, well, the most profound, the ultimate similarity between our two great saints, Saint Imhotte and Padre Pio, was their total offering of themselves to Christ. And next time on this channel, we're going to be having a look at the similarities between the life of Padre Pio and Saint John Bosco, who's particularly devoted to education and the youth. Please do join us for that video.